Hello, and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and let me introduce my co-host, starting with O's, the never ornery, the always optimistic, give it up for the one, the only, Mary Avijay.
Oh my God, that's so nice. But honestly, Chris DeSantis, I wish you wouldn't lie to our listeners, because we both know that I am as ornery as a wet-haired cat some days. Like, I am ornery, ornery. And I think my husband is probably laughing himself into another room right now if he ever hears you say that I'm not ornery. But I appreciate that you don't think I'm ornery. So hello, everybody.
No, I don't.
I am the... What were the good things you said? The
optimistic. The one, the only. You got all those O's there?
I do.
The
I like
one,
that.
The only.
I'm the one and only Mary Avijay. And truthfully, I am the only Mary Avijay. So I do have a sister-in-law who is Mary Ann Avijay, but that's still not Mary Avijay. All right, everybody. I would like to introduce you my co-host, the open-minded, the opinionated, and the sometimes old-fashioned Chris DeSantis.
I'm old-fashioned because I'm old. So that's...
But you have a good, you have a lot of good old-fashioned kind of gentlemanly qualities.
Oh, that's nice to say. Yeah, that's nice. Well, yeah, yeah. I do hold doors open.
You do?
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're never quite sure if you should. You're never quite sure how somebody might react to that.
Go ahead.
I've done now is I hold them for everyone now.
Yeah. So that's what I do. I figure if I'm the first one through the door, yeah, I'm going to hold it open for anyone behind me. Or if I'm coming like equal timing with someone else on the door, and if I notice they have stuff in their hands, I will always open the door. I just think it's a nice thing to do. Now, I don't know if you saw the video clips of Trump's coming out of the courthouse and the one guard comes through and he literally lets the door kind of slam in Trump's face. It was like, dude, I don't know if he meant to do that purpose, but that was rude. And
well,
funny.
I don't think Trump's terribly popular in New York City, but
no, that is true. So listen, we've got, before we start today's show, because I know today's show is what, it's going to be about awkward moments.
Yes, yes.
Remember the letter, the note we got, the question we got from Forget About It? He was annoyed by people would say no problem when he...
Oh, right.
So remember he asked for a book?
Yeah.
Did you send him a book?
Oh, he asked you for a book.
Yeah, he asked both of us. I told you this, Chris DeSantis. I sent you... Anyway, I did send him a book. And he wrote me the nicest handwritten note yet you'd ever want to see. Oh my gosh. So, and I can't give his name, forget about it. Thank you. I was so charmed.
Right.
I'm like,
I'm gonna send a book.
I think I need to write a thank you note for your thank you note, because your thank you note was just so fabulous. But that is like an awkward thing, right? Like when someone sends you a really nice thank you note, should you thank them for their thank you? Or is that just...
Well, you know, that's such an interesting question, because whenever you have an end to an email where somebody says, oh, it's good seeing you. Yeah. Then you write them back. Yeah, it was good seeing you as well. And then they write back, well, we should get together. You know what I'm saying? Then, oh my God, are we ever going to get off this phone call? Remember when you were really little?
I did.
And you had a friend on the phone and you're saying, okay, you're going to hang up now? No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You hang up. And we... And you go on forever. I think this is like that.
I think it is too. So forget about is listening to me then, or listening to the show again. Just know that I deeply appreciate your thank you.
Yeah,
that was very kind.
I think that's all you need to do.
All I need to do.
You've given. You have now. You are in balance. It's me that's off.
Yes, it is.
Also, an O.
Good point.
So anyway, anything new I should know about what's going on in your life?
Nope, nada. Just working, paying the taxes.
I'm on my way to California tomorrow. And then after that, I'm on my way to Boston. That's a flight and a half.
That is a day of travel.
Yeah, that's a day of travel.
Are you doing it the same week? Are you going from California to Boston?
Same, yeah, 2 days in a row. So it's California tomorrow, Boston the next day, and then home, and then Miami.
Wow. And then Vancouver.
No, then New York, then Vancouver.
Wow, look at you.
I know. Look at me. Look, points. Racking up those points.
Racking up those points.
Yeah, baby. Okay, anyway, we should get on to some awkward moments.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Giddy up, baby. Giddy up.
Dear Mary and Chris, I don't know if you like pets, but here goes. My office has a pet-friendly policy, and I work with a cat lady. She has 5 cats, but thankfully, she only brings 2 of them to the office at any one time. The problem is, they're cats. I don't like them, but apparently, they like me. I find them either under my desk, on my cubicle shelf, or occasionally in my chair. I told HR, and they just said, work it out. Short of putting them on a leash, what do I need to do to get these cats out of my life? Signed, The Cat's Out of the Bag in Benton.
Oh my goodness. So like, so I'm allergic to cats. So
I'm allergic to cats.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I'm left-handed.
I'm left-handed.
this would be very challenging for me, but since this person didn't say they were allergic, then they can't really fall in that because I'm not a big fan of lying. So,
They're just irritated.
They're just irritated. And I get it. So I only have a couple of ideas. One, clearly, is to go speak to the pet owner themselves and just as kindly and as graciously as you can, just tell them that you just would like to have a cat-free workspace. You don't have to make up any lies. You could just say, it makes me uncomfortable. Your cats are lovely creatures, but I'd really rather not have them within my area. And then every time they come into your space, you would go bother her to get them out of the space. You know what I mean? Just make yourself a gentle nuisance. I'm also surprised that she's allowed to bring 2 pets. You know, I always thought like it was like 1 pet, 1 person, but anyway.
That's an interesting, I don't even know what the rule on that would be.
I don't know. I guess every office is different. And a lot of offices allow dogs, but not cats because so many people are allergic to cats. So that's interesting. the other thing you can do is my second idea is to create some sort of like barrier. Like books, like things that keep, but cats are good climbers. But if you could somehow like maybe netting all around your cubicle, whatever it is, but create some sort of barrier, physical barrier to keep the cats in there. You could also just give up a little portion of your office to make a little cat friendly cat bed or something just to keep them away from you. That was my third idea. My fourth idea, and I think you got to be careful with this one, but there are some sort of natural deterrents that will keep the cats away. Like things like lavender or citrus scents or these certain herbs you could put around.
I didn't know that.
You could do something like that. You know, I'm sure there's a product called Cat Away. And then lastly, if you can't work it out, I disagree with HR. Try to have a conversation, but I think at some point you might want to seek mediation from HR. It's actually their job to resolve these sorts of things. So I don't know if any of these ideas would work, but that's the best I could come up with.
No, I like your ideas, Mary. I think it's really practical. I think this is a small potatoes issue. You know what I'd get? I'd get a dustbuster. And I do a little dust busting every time the cat shows up. You know, do that. That'll scare the cat as well. But it makes the point that there's big noise over here. Oh, it's the cats again. And then when the lady comes over and said, "What's going on here?" Well, look at what I found out was when I go home at night, my significant other is sneezing. It turns out there's dander on your cats that's getting on my clothes, that's getting to my significant other, and this person isn't happy with me. And if they're not happy with me, I'm not happy with the cats.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that's kind of a lie, unless it's not.
I know, but I'm going with it.
It's definitely an option. I think our whole shtick here is to give people options. Kind of like that. I like the noise factor. Not going to harm the cat, but it is going to annoy everybody else around.
The other idea I had was put food somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
put that in the HR's area. You know, start a trail of food to HR and let them handle it. But the idea there is the third option is put catnip in her cubicle.
Yeah, I like that.
Let them doze off.
That's the carrot as opposed to the stick approach, right? Putting those carrots and those foods, those yummies, other places, or just in somebody else's cubicle. And then the more people that are annoyed by the cat, the more the HR has to do something about it. You know, that also gave me a thought, and this is more of a stick option, but you could get like a spray bottle filled with water, and every time the cat comes in, spray them with the water.
A little
water.
Spray, a little puff of spray. Lavender spray.
Or lavender spray, or citrus spray. Or you could also, this is really going down to like the malevolent ideas, you could antagonize the cat till it like scratches you, and then you could be like, your cat attacked me, I'm going to sue you, I'm going to sue the company, and I bet they take away the cat policy pretty quickly.
No, I think that's an interesting, although I don't want to get a cat that kind of upset, but yeah.
I know, right? I mean, it's an option though. Like you could, or you could fake an injury and say your cat has scratched me, and then you could say I have cat scratch fever, and then you could get a couple days off work.
Or you could borrow a dog.
Oh, yeah, but don't, I think this might be a myth, but don't, I do like the idea of borrowing a dog. Yeah. Don't, when cats and dogs fight, doesn't the cat usually win?
You know, I don't know, because I've not seen a cat and dog fight, but
well, the cartoons, I mean, the possibilities. You have,
the cartoons.
Well, but if you borrowed Valentino, my dog, my little mm-hmm. my little adorable Shih Tzu, which you could. Oh my God, he'd be like following that cat around, trying to make it his best friend, and the cat would claw the shit out of him because he'd be so annoying.
Yeah, the problem, I think it's clear, listeners, that we're not fond of cats.
Again, we're allergic to cats, so we're using that as an excuse. Exactly. I'm sure they are very lovely creatures.
Very
I'm sure
lovely.
They make amazing pets, and I know
and
that
pillows.
Cat ladies are just as cool as dog people. But yeah, no, it would be weird. But the other thing is, you know, you could also just let it go, like...
Oh, you mean live with it?
Just you could. I mean, the truth is, would you rather have a quiet sleeping cat in your office or a dog that's slobbering all over you looking for attention?
I don't know. It's a toss. I think I'm going for the dog. I'm going for the dog.
I don't know. I would rather have a sleeping cat if I wasn't allergic than a dog that's slobbering all over me.
Oh,
like,
if
it was like a basset hound? And those dogs, I'm sure basset hound owners, don't write us. I'm sure your dogs are lovely. They do, if you haven't noticed, have a bit of a drool problem. Because
remember,
we had a question about that a while back.
Oh, right. The slobbering one.
The slobbering one. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Well, maybe we can introduce her to the cat lady and put their cubicles next to each other.
But I think our takeaway here is do what you can. And it is going to be awkward. And message to organizations that have pet-friendly workplaces. These are some things you have to think about. You need to make plans for this, especially for people who don't want to have pets in their work area. HR, you cannot toss this problem back to people to figure out. I think you need to help them by creating some policies around this.
And by the way, there is evidence that if you bring dogs to meetings, meetings go better. So people are much calmer in group environments where a dog is around.
Oh, I love that. Are people like, that's such a good idea. You're such a good, you're so smart. You're so smart.
Go fetch me the magic marker. Go fetch me the magic marker. But no, it works. So I don't know what if there's any data on cats.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. Anyway, we're done with you.
Bye, cats out of the bag.
All right, you ready for our next one?
I am ready, Freddie.
Hi, all. Love the show. I work as an insurance broker in an office of about 70 people. Lately, stuff has gone missing. It's all been food. We have a common area with a fridge, and people have been complaining that someone is raiding the fridge. Here's the problem. I know who it is. It's our boss. I saw my empty freezer bag that I use for my afternoon snacks in his trash can. What can I do? Should I call him on it, report it to HR, or let it pass? Signed, A Hamburglar Lurks in Little Rock.
Oh my God. That's, of course it's the boss, right? Of course it
boss.
Is. That's
Who else fantastic. Thinks that, yeah, they get it right? They get it right.
Oh my God, I love it. Wait, do we have a sense of how big this organization is?
She said, or he, whoever this is, 70 people.
Okay, so they probably have an HR department, and this probably, you know, well, God, you know what? If I was the boss, I'd probably be stealing your food too if it was any good. So I have a couple of ideas. They're not like rocket science, but of course the first one is you can just go talk to your boss, and you could either be direct and be like, dude, stop eating my food. Or you could be like, gosh, I don't know if you've noticed, but people have been taking other people's food from the refrigerator, and people are starting to get upset about it. What, you know, is there something that we can do about this? So bring your boss into the problem solving thing. Or you could go to your boss and say, dude, I found my empty freezer bag in your trash can. Is everything okay at home? Are you food insecure? Like something like that. So either a direct confrontation, if you will, with your boss, or a indirect conversation where you're talking about it as a problem that everyone's having. So that's number one. Number two, you could escalate to HR. There's always that option, which, you know, we don't love ever, but it is an option. Going to HR and saying, hey, listen, we've got some problems with people taking other people's food. It's starting to really lower morale, blah, blah, blah.
You tell them if it's your boss? You tell HR?
You could. That's an option. Yeah, you absolutely could. Like, listen, HR, this is really awkward, but my boss is stealing our food and make it their problem. You could put up cameras. You could say to everybody, you know, guys, someone's stealing the food. Let's put up a little Nest camera
or
something.
A ring or whatever they're called.
And then watch the, and like, but don't really do it, but tell everyone you're doing it and watch the food thievery stop. And then at the end of the day, you could just let it pass and it's not a big deal. Like, just let it pass. Maybe bring extra or bring tainted food.
Yeah, no. That's
which I'm sure is where you're going to go. So I'm going to pass it over to you.
Yeah, that was where I was going to go.
Of course, it's where you went. You met Mr. Prince Machiavelli.
Well, it's not tainted food I'd bring, but I would go into his office and laugh. I'd go into his office and laugh. Like, oh my God, you look, this is just between us. This is just between us. Close the door behind you, but here's the deal. They found out that somebody's taken this food out of this fridge. I don't know if you know this or not. They're taking food out of the fridge. Well, here's the, apparently some people are putting Visine into their snacks. And well, you know about Visine, don't you? And he'll go, oh, I don't know what's Visine. Well, if you eat Visine, you won't know you're eating it, but you'll be in the toilet the rest of the day.
Does Visine make you throw up or does it make you evacuate?
I think it makes you evacuate because I think that's what they do with the rest, you know, the restaurants where they don't like you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So don't actually do it, but say that it's being done. I just don't know who's doing it. Don't you think that's, and then you say, don't you think that's hilarious and mean at the same time? And then just leave.
Oh my God. I love that. But I think to make that work, by the way, I love it so much. Yeah. You don't want to put your name on your food, right? Because then he thinks other people are doing it, but not you. So you don't want to make your boss think that now you're the only safe food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. We'd have to add an addendum. What they're doing is they're peppering it with Visine, the snacks.
I love it.
You know, I think that way that stops it instantly.
Oh, I love that. I love that because it's not going to damage anybody and it's not calling anybody out, but it's giving a little bit of a warning. I love it.
And then I would imagine the boss is going to be looking like, oh my God, you can eat that? You're going to eat that?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Or, you know, you could then, if you do that, then you have to spend the next day. No, you don't want to spend the next day in the bathroom all day because they would know you were the food thief.
Yeah. We don't want, because we know who the food thief is.
Yeah, we do. It's the boss.
And then you would, this person should go back in a week or two later and say, I don't think this Visine stuff works because nobody's been in the toilet.
So, well, first of all, I wonder if our lovely producer, Chris Marlowe, could find us while we're still on the show, do a little Dr. Googling. I want to find out what it is about Visine that makes you evacuate, if you will.
Yeah, I thought so too. Maybe it's a myth, but I've always heard that.
But I've heard that too. You know, but let's talk a little bit about just going into your boss's office and saying, dude, knock it off. Yeah.
Well, the problem I have with that is this is the madness of King George scenario. The fact that the people that worked this, if you ever saw the movie, it was really good. But what happened was King George went crazy. And so his staff took care of him. And then when he recovered from that, the shame of his craziness caused him to get rid of all of his staff because there was no. Now, so the point is the messenger in this case will not necessarily be well received because now you've called your boss on being a food thief.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the shame that would come with that. Unless exactly. your boss is just like, well, what's in that refrigerator is mine. Yeah, so yeah,
exactly.
Right. I agree. There is a danger to calling yeah. someone out and anything that shame them.
Shame is bad.
You could also, you know, we didn't talk about is you could also put an anonymous note under his desk saying, just so you know,
oh, yeah.
we know what you did last night in the fridge. And we will be tainting different foods, but you'll never know which food has the Visine.
That's true. Or if he has a cat and he brings it to the office, you chop off the head of the cat and you put it under his seat.
I love it. Well, we just heard from our producer that Visine would cause violent diarrhea.
Oh, it would?
Yeah, but wow. he didn't tell us why. But apparently it's true.
Well, then we would certainly notice that.
And it might be considered poisoning.
Oh, well, remember now, we're not
actually doing it. We're threatening it. I exactly. love it. All right. Exactly. So a message to everyone out there who is working in physical offices with shared food storage spaces. Don't be a food thief. Eat your own stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if you are going to steal someone else's food, because let's all be honest, we've all been guilty. Don't incriminate yourself by throwing away the container or the bag in your own garbage. Like, make sure, like, if you're going to steal the occasional burrito or half of a, you know, piece, the last piece of cake, just make sure that you cover your tracks.
I also think there should be, I don't know if they have this, but I've heard horror stories of the food stays in there a long time if you don't, you know, some people don't.
Oh, people don't, yeah. I mean, that's the bigger problem in most physical offices is that people leave food that's rotting, half eaten, like, and they don't clean it out. I'm like,
see, I think there should be a turnover, you know, like every Friday, everything gets thrown.
There's a lot of companies that do exactly that reason. But apparently, like, during the pandemic, because everybody left right away, you know, mm-hmm. the refrigerator problems and corporate offices were pretty significant because no one was allowed back in the office. For months, right? And so there's a lot of smelly, rotty stuff.
Ooh. I do a lot of work for firms that have free lunches. You know, they'll do free lunches and all that. Here's what's tragic. They can't give away the food that they don't eat. They have to throw it away because of the laws in the cities they're in don't allow them to repackage it and give it to people that, you know, say, oh, this has never been touched. But because
that's a shame.
Isn't it horrible?
That's
they have
a shame.
To throw it away.
That's a shame because, you know, there's so many, whether I'm in a law firm or a high-end corporate office, whenever they order food, half of it is just
exactly.
it doesn't get eaten. And, you know, they encourage the staff to take stuff home, which is great, but it's a shame they can't give it away or at least like have
exactly.
an announcement to all the people who are food insecure, like every day at 4 o'clock, come to our back
right.
door. We'll give you a little something, something.
But apparently there's liabilities and all that, yeah. which I get the whole point of that. It's a shame. Just a shame.
I do hate to see food go to waste, and it happens all too often. But
I do,
anyway.
Too. I'm with you. Anyway, okay. I think we solved the Hamburglar issue.
Hamburglar.
All right. You ready for one more?
I am.
Mary and Chris, I'm in charge of organizing our annual, quote, bring your daughters to work day. The problem is that one of our employees wants to bring her, quote, non-binary son to the office. We are not in a state or a business that is terribly progressive, and I think this could result in some negative reactions and possibly some bad publicity. On a personal level, I'm fine with it, but I'm not sure if everyone else would be. Do you have any suggestions on how to dissuade her from doing this without offending her or her non-binary child? Signed, Mayhem in Memphis.
All right. So, Chris DeSantis, like, we were cruising along with easy peasy fun
I
questions.
Know, right?
And then
this is awkward.
Wah, wah.
I know.
This is beyond awkward, though. Like, I mean, it is definitely awkward, but this is also just so, this is a socially hot button issue. First of all, Memphis. So, yeah, I would definitely say you're not in a state that's that progressive.
Exactly right. Exactly. And by the way, I don't have a lot of awkward questions to come in, so I had to just sort of bundle them with what we had.
No, I totally got that. And you know, but Memphis is probably a little bit more progressive than the rest
yes,
of the state,
the city
right?
Is.
So Nashville and Memphis are probably a little bit more progressive. And both of them are fabulous cities. And by the way, we're assuming because he or they wrote Mayhem in Memphis that they're in Memphis, so they could just be making that up, but whatever.
Right. Good point.
So this is a situation that really does need to be handled with just the utmost sensitivity and respect for all parties involved. So first of all, always, of course, review the company's policies around discrimination, harassment, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure you understand like what's going, what, you know, any sort of policy around this sort of stuff. And, you know, I think whatever you decide to do, the most important thing is to make sure that every employee, everybody who's involved in this feels welcome and included, right, in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So you got to be really careful. I think you have a couple of options. One, you could go talk to the employee and really like have a just honest, awkward conversation around bringing their non-binary son to work, saying, you know what, I am for it. Let's talk about some of the potential blowback that might happen in this office because it's not a very progressive office. I want to make sure that everyone's comfortable. So you could have a conversation with them, just prepare. Because I would, the person I'm most worried about is the child.
Exactly.
I'm most worried about the child, and I want to make sure the child is prepared for whatever blowback they get or snickering or whatever. You could also prep some people in the organization saying, you know, Chris DeSantis is bringing his non-binary son to blah, blah, blah. I want to make sure that we are all going to treat each other with respect, blah, blah. So you could prep the organization as a whole. Then my really big idea is stop calling it bring your daughter or your son to work day.
Why don't we bring your child to work day?
And I understand the importance of bringing your daughter to work because, you know, when we started doing that many years ago, it was just to get women more enculturated into being able to see themselves in careers and in offices. But I think we do now as women. So I would change it by bringing your child to work.
In fact, we don't even have to say child. We could say, because I love that idea. That's where I was going. I was thinking, look, the easiest thing is rename this event.
Yeah.
And maybe you just say, instead of bring your child, just say, bring somebody who you want to be proud of you to work today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's about being proud of you. So in that
sense, young person to work day, because you don't want to I'm going to bring my husband then. Like, I don't know. I think you should qualify into like young
although person. I will tell you this from the generational perspective, young people do like to show off where they're working if where they're working is interesting relative to what they, you know, to their parents. Say, look the job that I got. That's look true. Where I'm working, look what this is. So them bringing their parents is actually they get dinged for that, meaning that they'd like to show off where they're working, but then they're seen as, oh, you brought your parents to work. So in that sense, I think if we opened it up to, you know, proud of what I do day, sort of whatever we want to call it, and be that kind of inclusive. By the way, reframing and saying, you know, the mistake we made, we weren't inclusive enough.
Yeah.
And one of our employees reminded us to be more inclusive.
Yeah, I like that.
And that inclusivity means anyone who is somebody you want to know what you do, bring them that day.
Yeah.
I
still like limiting it to like either, you know, child or.
No, I like child.
Because
like
anybody, because I think if you're the organization you are the one organizing it, you're going to have, the event's going to feel different based on who's there. I think other adults would suck the attention away from the kids.
No, that's right. I guess we could say maybe rotational. Bring your, you know, somebody, you know, and then featuring our child.
Every year it could be a different event. One year it could be bring a young person. One year it could be bring a child. One year it could be bring your dog. One year it could be bring someone you just want to show off to. So I think we are both in agreement. The best thing to do would be to rename the event, rebrand it.
I agree. That's the best thing to do. And then don't even bring it up, meaning don't have this conversation with anybody. We're just rebranding it to bring your child. We understand that. And you know, so in that sense, we want it to be more inclusive.
I love that.
And then you're done. Oh, by the way, but do not bring your cat to work. Do not bring...
Because while non-binary children are wonderful, cats are awkward. Chris DeSantis, we have successfully wasted another 28 minutes of our good listeners' time today with our awkward moments episode. So I think we should wrap this up. And I would like to wrap up by, of course, thanking you, my friend, for joining me today.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You hang up first.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us today. A big thanks, as always, to our amazing, overworked, and still underpaid, but never awkward producer, Mr. Jack Ettinger. If you have a workplace question, a cubicle dilemma, an awkward thing to discuss, please give us a shout. No questions too easy, no questions too hard, or too awkward. Lots of ways to reach us. You could email us to info@cubicleconfidential.com, tweet us @cubicleconfide1, or connect with us on LinkedIn. Chris DeSantis or Mary Abajay, people, we are easy to find. Until then, until we see you next time, we want you to work hard, be kind, remember your awkward moments so you can tell us about them, and always, when you have a problem, what should they do?
Call us.
All right, see you next time.